So sit down, let me show you some things that you need to know. It's my job, and it's, because we're in a transitional period. So it's very important that you be able to make the transition without being hindered by a religious spirit.
Yes, sir.
Now, this class, there are matured people here. There are people who have matured during the years. In writing a few notes, I recognize that fact, which has been a blessing to the ministry, not having to hold everybody's hand. This is not a holding hand ministry. It trained you how to stand up for yourself.
Amen.
All right. We can't start no better than John chapter 14, verse 26. I'll be reading it out of the Amplified Bible. I'm going to give you a few hints on somebody talking while I'm talking. Never quit serving him. And another thing I want to do for your physical life is keep moving. What you don't use, you're going to lose.
Amen.
So get some kind of exercise in your life. Start walking. Take care of yourself.
Yes, sir.
Don't go to scooting. Walk. All right, now, maturing in the ministry of health. Maturing, I don't know how long it will be. Maturing in the ministry of health. You get that down. You have to mature to function in the ministry of health. The rest of y'all sit down. Hey, y'all sit down. I don't want nobody to stand out to walk. Sit down and listen. Y'all need to listen too. Maturing, and I don't want that son either. I don't want them little boys standing up there. I want them setting their butt down so I can teach them. Maturing in the ministry of health. Now, in John 14:26 said, but the, now watch what it says in the Amplified Bible. But the comforter, counselor, and notice what they call the Holy Spirit next. Notice who class you in. Helper. The ministry that you're doing is the one of the characteristic of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit ministry was the ministry of health. So he says, but the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, look at it, the strengthener, the standby, we need all of this in the ministry of health. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf, he will what? Teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring you to remember everything I've told you. Now, I have quite a few things I'm going to throw out here at you for to help you in the ministry of help. I'm in the ministry of help. Now, you might get five or six subjects because a lot of things on my mind here. But letting the master helper train you in the ministry of help. Letting the master helper train you in the ministry of help. Now, note this. You probably would have never heard this. Jesus was in the ministry of help. You probably not find that in no book. The Holy Ghost told me that. Jesus was operating in the ministry of help. He was carrying the Father's will out. That's what you're doing. Okay? The master helper trained Jesus in his ministry. In other words, the Holy Spirit was Jesus' trainer for the ministry of help. Jesus was not permitted to enter his ministry without the help of the Holy Spirit. Now turn to Matthew chapter 3. This is serious business. This is not just a pep rally to make you feel good. When you're on these posts, you need to be keyed in to know what to do in any given situation. Because there's a spiritual transaction going on all the time with ushers, with greeters, praisers, etc. On the parking lot, your attitude, your ability to shift in spirit if you have to. You're dealing with different people. You got to know how to shift with them, how to handle them, how to accept them, how to challenge them, how to change them, how to make them walk in line for the order without getting out of order.
Yes, sir.
See, so Jesus' ministry, Jesus would not try to carry out his ministry of help, Jesus' ministry of help, without the helper helping him. In other words, the Father saw that Jesus needed the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Jesus needed the Holy Spirit to do what he did. So we, as in the same class with Jesus, because we're still carrying out the Father's business. You follow what I'm saying? So I take it serious. Every part you play is a serious part. No matter what nobody else say about it, you have to know yourself that you in the ministry of helping the Father carry out what he wants for his children in his realm. That's what we'll be doing tomorrow morning. Whatever post you agreed out there, you're supposed to have an attitude that the Holy Ghost give you. Not what your husband gave you before you left the house. So one important thing is, as a minister of help worker, you must let the Holy Ghost teach you how to shift.
Amen.
Write that down. Teach you how to shift. Because the flesh will try to make you do something various ways, but you got to know how to shift in the spirit. Jesus knew how to shift in the spirit. He never entered as a boy at 12. He said, I must be about my Father's business. But actually, he was 33 before he entered into ministry, or 30, I think, before he entered into ministry. This passage here tell me the sacredness. Watch what I'm saying now. The sacredness. See, I stay serious about this. And the seriousness of this. You got to have a picnic to have fun. We might have a picnic, ministry, help picnic, but this right now, no picnic.
Yes, sir.
This is precious. Notice in Matthew 3:16. It actually, Matthew 3:16 to Matthew 4:11. Ministry of help workers should know how to stop the devil. Write that down. You should know how to stop the devil. He will attack. He will try to distract. He will try to attract people to him. You need to know the right words. You need to know the right wisdom. You need to know the right understanding. You need to have the right knowledge to deal with it on your post. Sometimes we ain't got time to go run and get nobody. Ain't got time to go run and get nobody else. You need to have the Holy Ghost working with you, walking in an anointing with the ability of the Holy Spirit to handle God's business according to his will.
Amen.
Are you following me? So don't think you're not important. Don't think because you're usher, or don't think it's not important because the show can't go on without you. Somebody got to keep things in order. Jesus, when he fed the 5,000, he needed a group to set him up like Mac them, to set those people down so he could feed them. Or they have been chaotic, disorder. So without the ministry of help in a ministry, a ministry will be in chaos, disorder. So it's very important that you tell yourself the place you're holding is important.
Yes, sir.
But you got to know how to stop the devil.
Yes, sir.
And for God's sake, don't be the devil. So you got to know how to stop you. Because sometimes you get upset. You deal with some people in a ministry. Somebody come here, you tell them, set here. They get up and go set somewhere else. I don't want set here. I want the front row. Now you got to deal with them. But you got to have the wisdom of God. Now Jesus' ministry, he would not start out without the help of the Holy Spirit. And the first thing happened after he entered into his real ministry, he had to face the enemy. You cannot face the enemy without the Holy Ghost. Know that. Mundane thinking, natural thinking, will not handle the ministry of help, it will get you killed. So it's so important. I just want to read this passage of scripture that you can see, because it has been on my heart for many years, this passage. In Matthew 3:16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. You must, in the ministry of help, work under an open heaven. Very important. Very important. Because you're going to deal with religious spirit. You're going to deal with different people in transitioning to the apostolic. The religion murdering spirit is going to rise up. And you're going to have to know how to deal with it. All right. So the heaven was open to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting up on him. You're going to have an anointing to do the ministry help. You're going to have to ask the Lord to increase your anointing. And then, and Lord, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And this is one of my favorite scriptures, because those three things are so important when you are in serving God in some manner. Now, then you see in the fourth chapter, now let's face the enemy, I'm ready. See, when you submit to the Holy Spirit, you're ready for the enemy. But if you does not submit to the Holy Spirit, you the enemy. You the very one Satan going to use. So you need to take time and submit to the enemy. I submit to God, not the enemy. And you know, now in Matthew 4 through 11, you see a man. Jesus did everything he did down here as a man, not as a God. See, you misread the Bible if you think that's Jesus. No, that's Jesus, the man, the Son of Man. He was showing you how to operate, how to function with the Holy Spirit. All right? All right, start writing these principles down. I'm going to take 15, 20 minutes and get some things real fast. You ready? The Holy Spirit, let him help you in prayer about your position and how to deal with certain situations. Let him help you in prayer about your position and how to deal with certain situations. And I give you a scripture, Romans 8:26-28. He's the helper. You see him as a helper there. And he'll show you exactly what to do, that all things work together for good and turn out good. Secondly, remember, he is a comforter, the Holy Spirit. Stay in communion with him on your pulse. Stay in communion. Stay in contact with the Holy Spirit. Here's what he will do. I've seen it over and over in the years past. The Holy Spirit, if you stay in contact with him and stay in communion with him, not only will he comfort you, but he will empower you to always walk in the possible zone. In spite of what kind of attack you have to deal with. See, he will always cause you to walk in the possible zone. Now, ministry of help worker, this is so important. I've seen many of y'all matured over the years, and certainly I could be appreciative to being able to walk into a sometimes war zone winning. Because if you know what to do, I don't have to worry about it. The Holy Spirit is the teacher of the plans and purposes and principles of the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit is the teacher of the plans and purposes and principles of the kingdom of God. Things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Your ministry is pertaining to the kingdom of God. Right before Jesus left, what he did, he taught them 40 days of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And then he said to them, to carry out these things that pertain to the kingdom of God, you're going to need power. Because you get there in Acts 1:8, after teaching them about things pertaining to the kingdom of God, he said, now go out there and try to do this on your own. So I'm telling you about whatever part you play. Don't you go out there and try to do this thing on your own. Don't you think your talent and your intellect can handle this. All right? So Jesus said you needed power. After I teach you the thing pertaining to the kingdom of God, the ministry of help is on a kingdom of God mission. Y'all know that, right?
Yes.
The ministry of help is on a kingdom of God mission. And to do that, you have to be taught the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. But that's not enough. Now you're going to have to be empowered to carry out the things you've been taught. That's why this is so serious. I'm glad you're here. And it's so serious to me. You know, they kept asking me, said, you going to say anything? The Lord said, no. In this transitional period, they need to hear your voice to know that more powerful things are about to happen. But they're going to have to be in the spirit to cooperate with it. Are you following me? So the plans and purposes and principles and power must go together. Good God Almighty. Plan, purpose, and principles can't work without the power. And it's plan, purposes, and principles pertaining to the kingdom of God. So your scripture there is Matthew 13, I believe, verses 11 and 12. The Bible says, for it is given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom. And by you knowing the mystery of the kingdom, doing your ministry of help work properly, you're supposed to live in abundance. That is ministry of help pay.
Yes, sir.
A lot of people don't realize that. No, nobody works for God and say God didn't do nothing about it. Now, being anointed in your position is very important. It is impossible to do ministry if you depend on your talent alone. Impossible. So there in Luke 4:18, notice Jesus took help. Spirit of the Lord is upon me, anointed me. He went out four or five things. He tell you about it. He went out and do in ministry. Acts 10:38, tell you Jesus didn't go out by himself. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power who went out doing good. So all of these things are necessities. For you to understand, be undergirded. First John 2:27, you got this anointing. You need to work. Y'all go over this sometime at your house somewhere, you know. But 1 John 2:27, because I don't have time to spit this out. Here's another thing. Nobody won't meet no grumpy person. They already got a problem, so they're coming to get help, and then they meet you with your grumpy self. Hey, how you doing? I ain't sleep good last night. Anybody wonder about your sleep? So to hold and handle your ministry, you will need joy and peace that only the Holy Ghost can give you. Joy and peace. I didn't look up a scripture for this, and it's probably one of the most important things I'm going to say this morning. But I thought John needs no down. But it's so important for you to be able to see beyond what you're looking at. Call it discernment. Being able to discern, because a religious spirit can put a religious suit on and act as if it's with the whole plane. But you have to watch. I one of these ushers, they got to watch in you all the time. Who moving? What they want? What they want? Just watch them. What are they doing? Without disturbing the service. So what are you going to need? Discernment. You're going to know when to move, when not to move. How that only going to come through prayer, praying in the Holy Ghost. You got it?
Yes, sir.
All right. So you need, ask the Lord to give you discernment. Flesh help in kingdom business will spell failure. Holy Spirit, flesh help in kingdom business will spell failure. Holy Spirit, guide my step in the ministry of help. Mm-hmm. Here's what he would do. He will mature you for ministry and not let you be misled. He will mature you for ministry, the Holy Spirit, and not let you be misled. And as you know, you go back to, you go to the fifth scripture now, Ephesians 4, 11, throughout the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, because it's a maturing chapter, a maturing. Here's a note I wrote in the middle of my note. I said it to you in some way. But I know that for a fact. It's almost effortless working with this team because most of you have developed a level of maturity. When we got some new people, we're still training. But Mac been with me, Ray, and all these boys, he's been with me, so I don't have no problem with them. I mean, Ray was the head usher. He turned it over to Mac, and he still served. Never quit serving. Take a cue. Never quit serving. Never talk about my back hurt. Walk it out. You stay young. Keep serving the Lord. If you don't want to serve nobody else, serve the Lord. You know, stay with it. Stay with it. And it'll keep you young, keep you moving. There's an assault weapon that Satan will use against you, or an assassinating weapon that he will use against you. He used it against Eve. He used it against himself. High-mindedness is an assault weapon. It will assassinate you. It will cause you not to have a team spirit. You can find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You can find it in Romans 12 and 3. He said, be not high-minded. Okay? You can find it when prosperity starts flowing in 1 Timothy 6, 17, I think, in 18. Not being high-minded is so important. So the next opposite of that is, Holy Spirit, help me to stay humble. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So be aware of high-mindedness. Is an assassinate weapon of Satan. I don't know whether I said this to you or not. I'm going to say it again. Look into the master helper for direction. The one who trained Jesus and Paul and Leroy in the ministry of help. Helping the Father complete his plan. That's what we're doing. So you're not here... You are helping me, but the major thing is you're helping the Lord. I mean, you're working for the Lord, right? All right. I'm almost through. We read John 14, 26 in the Amplified Bible. I want you to also read John 16, 13 through 14 through the Amplified Bible. John 16, 13 and 14. Let's see here. It says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole full truth. For he will not speak of his own message or his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that have been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. He will honor and glorify me because he will take of, receive, draw upon what is mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. They're just talking about trusting in the Holy Ghost. Now notice I'm going to holler these scriptures out quick for you. I want you to have them. Acts 15, 28. You talk about seem good to the Holy Ghost. You got to know what seem good to the Holy Ghost in your post. What would the Holy Ghost do here? You know, They had that thing out, what would Jesus do? Yeah, what would the Holy Ghost do? I never heard nobody put that out. What would the Holy Ghost do? Yeah, because soon as you say that, the Holy Ghost is going to check you. See, Jesus can't check you without the Holy Ghost. And then Acts 13:2, when there was a lot of praying going on, the Bible said the Holy Ghost said. So the Holy Ghost will speak, wouldn't it? Then in 2 Corinthians 13:14, two powerful scriptures. 2 Corinthians 13:14, it talk about certain things, but then it said the communion of the Holy Ghost. And then in Acts 9:31, it talks about the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Now for 5 minutes, let me tell you about a religious spirit that will try to stop a transitioning of believers into apostolic believers. And all it means is going directly into the dynamics of the early church, having all five office in place and the maturing of the saints to do the work of the ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ, that they cannot be deceived. Once you get in maturity Ephesians 4, you cannot be deceived no more, because you can't deceive matured Christian. They're gonna discern. Deceive, discern. See, there'll be no discernment for the deceived. Don't trust everything that's dressed up. You understand that? Don't trust everything that look good to your physical eye, because your position is not physical. You need to be see beyond that nice talking. You need to be like a gag O'Connor. It ought to go off and somebody get close to you full of jive, trying to shuck you. And like, I'm with you 100%, but they're looking for something. I can discern that just like that. You know, I just watch. I just pay attention. I really pay attention. So here, now the word religious been so nice to you. You know, I got my religion. No, but there's a religious spirit that you need to get rid of. You need to get a revelation of your real righteousness relationship with God. So let me give you a little highlight on religious spirit, so you'll be able to look out for them as ministry help well. The fruit of a religious spirit, by contrast, is self-righteousness, legalism, hypocrisy, a carnal view of Christianity, false humility, dead religious work, traditions, and instability. I know I said a lot of stuff, right? Yeah, all right. All right. Self-righteousness. They're always talking about what they want. Legalism. I mean, a move of the Spirit come, they say, that shouldn't have happened. Because it didn't go the normal way, you see. Hypocrisy. A carnal view of Christianity, false humility, dead religious work, tradition, instability. Now listen to this. Listen to the purpose of a religious spirit. You ain't got a religious spirit, right?
No.
All right, let me tell you a point. The purpose of the religious spirit is to stand in the way of God's work and corrupt your perception of Jesus. It does this with self-righteousness, false humility, dead religious work, vain tradition, and carnal focus. Now listen, we're going to have to buck tradition. What is Mark 6:13, I think? Or Mark 7:13, the tradition of men that made the word of God of none effect? Is it Mark 7:13 or Mark 6:13? I haven't read in a good while, but it's in there. And all of y'all came here with some. Me too. Mark 7:13. Look at that. Mark 8. We all came with some. Me too. But the word of God will drive it out. Just a little more now. Religious spirits try to burden you down with a form of godliness. while denying the power of the hell. So you will be ineffective in accomplishing God's plan for your life. That's what Satan has played a trick on the church for many years with religious spirit, and therefore the people were not qualified to fulfill the plan of God for their life and in their life because they didn't know how to do it. This same religious spirit will try to get you to take on this godly form while simultaneously challenging the reality of the Spirit of God in your life. Religious form always focuses people on the corner rather than the spiritual substance of the word of God in a believer's life. See, that's one of the things I've been trying to do with you all these years. One of the religious spirit man's purpose is to get you out of the man's stream of freedom and liberty that comes from the spirit of life into the legalistic bondage of form. Wow. How many of y'all been there? How many of y'all have seen that? How many of y'all so glad, so glad? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. I'm trying to stop. Get ready, my trail. Y'all can take it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. Verse 17, excuse me. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord, you got it? Huh? Now the Lord is what? And what happened? Yeah, I don't want you here in the ministry of help in bondage. You don't want to go, you know. It's a team spirit. And then things can go a little AWOL for a while, but we who are matured, we can bring it back. We know that's the enemy trying to get in, trying to make me hot enough to quit. They ain't handling me right today. And so I turn my revelation in. I'm just going to sit like everybody else. Don't do that. Stick with it. Everything's not going to go right all the time. But there's that spirit right here, the spirit of liberty. You see it?
Yes, sir.
Where the, now the Lord is that spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Mm-hmm. There's freedom. I didn't even bring a watch, so y'all. There's freedom in the Lord, not religious bondage. I want y'all to be happy in what you're doing.
Yes,
Satan hates the freedom and the exciting life of the spirit-led Christian. He hates it. A Christian who walks in the spirit is very dangerous to Satan and his kingdom because the gospel is a divine invasion and attack against the power of darkness. Yeah, you know who you are. One of the most effective tools of Satan is to render the believer of God in effectiveness by creating religious people who are pious in form yet without spiritual power. To the purpose of the religious spirit, and they got, three quarters of the church at large. The purpose of the religious spirit is to stand in the way of God's word. Religious spirit are always into carnal form that has no genuine spiritual substance. Religious spirit like to mentor others and attempt to conform them into his own respectable image. I'll quit, but oh my God. Self-righteousness and dead religious work are the fruit of religious spirit. Religious spirit try to burden you down with a form of godliness while denying the power thereof, so you will be ineffective in accomplishing God's plan for your life. You hear me, Glenn?
Yes,
so we need to let's remember a few things that I said. I think they were clear enough. You just got to go over them. I didn't have a chance to really minister them because I'm not going to minister all the morning. I'm going to minister tomorrow. But Thus far, I want to say to those who have been working here, I think you've done a tremendous job. You can say amen.
Amen.
If somebody compliments you, go ahead and receive it, please. don't be that humble, you know. I think it got people been with me a long time. Very seldom I say this. But I was led by the Holy Spirit and I was praying last night. He said, let them know what they're doing is effective. Because we're not a normal church. Now that's just, you see, we're not normal. We're not, when I say that, we're not the normal religious setting. And so when somebody come here, they know it's different. But I think you all handle it well. I think you're going to do a better job. I think you'll get closer. If you pray and be led by the Holy Spirit, you're going to be fine. Lift both your hands. Let me pray for you. Then Montreal can take over. Let's just unite. Let's come into oneness. The Bible says, as one man. The Bible says, on one accord. As one man. Say, as one man.
As one man.
On one accord.
On one accord.
The only way that is possible. That we all. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you today for this ministry of help session that have been called. The people of God are here. I've told them what I believe you laid on my heart. May the scriptures come alive in them to encourage them and exalt them to do a better job and to know that they are working for you and your plan, your purposes that you have in this realm. May the days of heaven on earth be in their lives. May their personal lives, their personal families, because they give this time to the work, the commission that you've given me in this city, and they know that they are commissioned with a worldwide ministry. People's lives are being touched all over the world. And the thing that they are dealing with, give them the wisdom and the knowledge and understanding so they can be free. I know they will have challenges. We all have challenges. But, Lord, challenges are nothing when we got you showing us what to do. So enlighten, empower everyone under the sound of my voice. May they have good health. And may they have the finances they need to live the good life. So, Father, we're serving you. We trust you. We know you are a rewarder of them. Oh, my goodness. You are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. And so all the years, men have been serving you for years. I watched them. Just keep them strong. Keep them healthy. Let them live as long as they want to live, Lord. I just thank you. Just keep us in harmony. We humble ourselves before you, Lord. But let us stay in harmony. We've had good harmony. You protected us. I know by much prayer, the intercessors in the ministry of help. Keep this place covered with prayer. And we know that's why things are going like they're going. We see ministries struggling, they're fighting, and people are going against one another. Lord, in our midst, you have kept us because we have stuck to the plow. And we thank you. We're going to see many more good years walking together, fruitful and productive. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Love you.
Come on, let's clap it up again. Come on. Come on, you can yell a little bit. Come on, come on. Really quick, give your neighbor a high five. Tell them we're going to work together. Come on, give your other neighbor a high five. Tell them let's work together. Come on, smile. Smile real big. We're going to work together. You know, this is practice for what we do and what we function on a weekly basis. One of the things we want to focus on, everybody turn around. Look, this camera right here. Put the camera on the people. And y'all wave to our LTMA family online. Wave. Tell them good morning. Come on, wave that way at the camera. We have people from all the LTMA churches this morning watching that's going to be helping us out for camp meeting. How many are ready for camp meeting? Make some noise. So we have them online watching. So thank you all for watching this morning. I hope it was informative. I hope you're learning different things that you can apply at your churches as well. They'll be helping us, volunteering with us for everything we need for camp meeting. You know, when camp meeting come around, we need their help. Amen. Amen. So we appreciate it. A couple quick things I want to touch on real quick. Romans 5:5 says, anybody know that? What does Romans 5:5 say? The love of God is shed abroad in your heart. How? So the Holy Ghost shed that love in your heart. Amen. There's a scripture, there's a powerful prayer that we pray in Ephesians. I think it's 3 and verse 14. If you can put it on the screen real quick, and I'm going to go down through it. A lot of times when ministry helps, we jump. One of our favorite chapters is Ephesians 4. Right? We jump talking about every joint supply. You can be seated real quick, and then we're going to break out in the section. We're going to put a map on the stage, on the screen. We'll break out and do a little training this morning. And we jump to Ephesians 4, and we say, every joint supply, we got to supply our part. Do our part, right? Everybody say, I got to do my part. Come on, say it again. Say, I have to do my part. Because your part is important. If your part isn't in place, then the other parts will be handicapped. You understand what I'm saying? If you don't do what you got to do, then maybe what I have to do won't go as well because you didn't do what you got to do, and vice versa. If I don't do what I have to do, then I hinder what you're doing. Amen? So, but a lot of time we jump to Ephesians 4, but then we get to, go back to Ephesians chapter 3. I think it's verse 14, or maybe 17 as I want, quickly, because I don't want to take too much time doing it. Ephesians chapter 3. Because that's not where I want to start. Verse 16, maybe? Let me see. Come on, y'all help me out. Y'all know what prayer I'm going to. I just had it in my 14. Verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit. Where? In the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in right? May be able to comprehend with all saints. How many of the saints? How many of the saints? There are going to be a lot of saints in this building tomorrow. And for camp meeting and everything, we're going to focus on camp meeting, but I never like to be event driven. I like to be eternity driven. If we get it right now in our hearts right now, then we can do it right all the time. Camp meeting to be a breeze. Everybody say a breeze. So now, grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is breadth and length and depth and height, and to know what? Everybody say the love of Christ. Come on, say it again, the love of Christ. One more time, say the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And we go to verse 20. We like verse 20, don't we? And we thought we knew what verse 20 was about, didn't we? Until we started talking about that you filled with this love. Now one to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the, that works well. What is this power? Right? Verse 21. Unto him be all the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And let me give you a quick lesson. We like to separate chapters in the Bible, but they weren't written that way. So we like to say, well, chapter 3 is about this and chapter 4 is about this. But no, chapter 3 and chapter 4 is together. So now the conversation goes on. So we can't forget that rooted and grounded in love. Right? So now when we get here, it says, therefore, prisoner, walk worthy. I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. You know, not you didn't sign up for this, you were called. You might have signed the paper. You might have asked somebody to come for training. And you might have said, I want to do this. I want to be a part. I want to sing. I want to be a part of the media team. I want to do this. That's cool, but you were called. You thought you were signing up, but he signed you up before. He compelled you. So you were called. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Watch this. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. Oh, that's lowliness. Everybody say lowliness. Meekness. Ooh, Lord, long suffering. How long do we have to suffer, Jesus? Long suffering, forbearing one another. How? How you gonna do it? Ain't no other way to forbear one another. but in love. Everybody say in love. Look at your neighbor and say in love. Look at your other neighbor and say in love. We got to be in love. This is what I'm trying to tell you. Ain't no way to do it. Now watch this. Not even just people that are coming to work with us, but working together. Sometimes we don't see eye to eye, right? And that's okay. Get your eyes straight. Sometimes we might, you know, the apostle said it just now. Come, you done got mad because you done had an argument before you came to church. Well, let the grace that's on your neighbor rub off on you. You see it? I mean, you make sure. I was talking to a group of people Thursday, I think it was, and I said, you make sure that you come prepared to just be sending out love no matter what. And even if it's difficult for you, if everybody comes in giving, there's no lack. The only reason there's ever lack, even in the world, even in all systems, poverty is an illusion. The only reason there's lack in any situation is because people are taking more than they're giving. If everybody gave more, right? If everybody came in every situation, every relationship, everything they got to do giving, and say, you know what? I'm not even worried about taking right now because taking going to be taken care of. I'm just coming in giving. Well, sometimes you'll help your neighbor that's working with you. Amen. Forbearing one another how? In love. Everybody say in love. In love. The greatest commandment in the law is what? Love. Come on, finish it though. Love. Yeah, finish it. What did Jesus say? What's the greatest commandment in the law? What did he say? The Lord your God, all your heart, your mind, your soul. Right? And he said the second one. The second one? But he said the second one was just like the first one. Hold on. Did he say the second one was just like the first one? So he said, in other words, really no separation. All that goes together. And what was the second one? Love your neighbor like you love yourself. Amen. So we're gonna break off in the sections real quick, and I just want to touch on a couple of things because I can't really run around to every group, but I will run around to every group. But you know, I'm certain things that we do, we have to make sure we do them functioning in love. Are y'all understanding me? We make sure we're paying attention. Love ain't always nice. And we think love will get you together with a smile. You know what I'm saying? Love is correction. My parents told my tale when I was little because I needed it every single time. And I'm doing this. What they tell you? I'm doing this because I said, no, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. Ask the Lord to forgive me. Y'all lying to me right now. No, I'm doing this, and I appreciate every single one of them because I'm doing this correction because of love. If I don't correct you, if I don't put you in place, if I don't keep you in order, that means I really don't love you. If I allow you to walk into the middle of the streets when cars are coming, I really don't love you. So I got to keep you outside the lines. I got to keep you in the place, keep you lined up so that you're out of the range of the enemy. You get what I'm saying? So love is not always this nice. We got this false sense of love. Yes, be friendly. Friendly is a part of love. Everybody smile real big. Friendly is a part of love, but correction is as well. It's all encompassing. So when I'm my ushers, all my ushers make some noise. Come on with your baritone. Yeah. Come on, my ushers. All my ushers say yeah. You don't know what to make ushers. Say all my ushers say yeah. All my ushers say amen. They don't want to say amen too loud because they don't know what I'm about to say. So, and I'm just using them and I'm just using some other things, but like, you know, when I come to church, how many of y'all ever sat somewhere and it was real tight for you? Like you sat in somewhere and it was like, they breathe in your air. As soon as it come out, they know what flavor of bubble gum you got because they just that. Come on, anybody ever sat real tight? Was it comfortable? Question, would you come and say, hey, listen, this is what I want. I want the tightest seat you got in the room. Right? Nobody asked that, right? Right? And we don't like to be tight, right? Right? So ushers, everybody say yeah. Come on, ushers, say yeah. And they don't have this problem, but I'm just pointing it out so how you look. I'm using them because I know they can handle it, right? When you come in, I don't like sitting tight. So sometimes when you see certain situations, you see things coming up, right? I know we say, scoot all the way down. Come on, amen. Come on, y'all can laugh about it. And you need to scoot all the way down, God dog it. Scoot all the way down. We got to fill these chairs. But sometimes it's a little, you know what I'm saying? So we'll give a little leeway on that one right there. We'll let them lean over a little bit. Amen. Because, if I need to lean over, I'll lean over too. Amen. Right? When I come in the morning, greeters say amen. I need to hear y'all a little better. Greeters say amen. So when I come in the morning, and I don't know nobody. Right? And I'm over here, this strange new place. I just found out where Darryl was. Had to use my MapQuest and all that just to find out how to get over here, right? And I finally got over here. I ain't got no kin people at this church. Ain't none of these people kin to me. I don't even know how I found out how to get there. I'm here this morning and I'm excited, right? And I want to come in. So now my first people that I see are going to be my, really besides my security, I'll see my security guys outside, right? But sometimes they move around, see my greeters. So now I want to make sure that I'm smiling. I want to make sure that I'm speaking to them with a happy tone, with a happy voice. Ask them if they need anything, show them where the restrooms are. And I want to make sure that I'm giving them my full attention. Right? Because of the first line of defense. Well, did you know that whatever position you're playing, it represents our leader? Do you know that whatever you're doing will affect how well the people receive the message when it comes? And you know that's what we're here for. You know, we can do all the other stuff and everything, but we're here to see what God is saying to our hearts to change us to be better. So we don't want nothing hindering that process. We don't want anything from the rooter to the tutor, from the front to the back, from the first minute they open the doors to the time the message comes. We don't want anything that we are doing to be a hindrance to the fact that they'll be able to receive. Sometimes people come and they aren't as seasoned as you. Most of the time. How long you been at Word of Life? How many years training? How many of y'all graduated ministry school? How many times you been to prayer? Do y'all understand it? The training, the maturity that you have, a lot of times people come in and they don't know nothing about praying in the tongues. To go to prayer for what? We don't know. What is prayer? You see what I'm saying? And we expecting that sometimes that people are coming that way, you'll be able to walk them in, teach them. Teach. Sometimes you accept them as a child. They don't really know what's going on. But your demeanor, your love, the way that you function will enable them to be able to come in, sit down, and have an open heart. We don't want people to be offended as soon as they walk through the door, right? We don't want people to be offended as soon as they walk in and now they look uncomfortable and everything. And they still got to stay in order. See, it's everybody say balance. Come on, say it again, say balance. There's a way to get somebody in order and be still in full love. There's a way to tell them, hey, listen, you need to scoot all the way down. And they say, well, I'm going to put it right there. Well, then I learned this, that the Holy Spirit will help you to know how to deal. And he was saying this just now, how to deal with every situation that comes. There's different people. Sometimes in your family, sometimes with people you deal with, you talk to them differently. Sometimes I got to talk a little lower to you. Sometimes I got to talk a little louder to you. Right? Sometimes I got to say it in a certain way. Sometimes I got to explain it a little more. It doesn't matter what we need to do. Love is whatever's needed when it's needed. Are y'all hearing me? Love is whatever's needed when it's needed. So now when you reach that person, you'll know how to ease them into the flow so that they'll be able to receive. If somebody comes to Word of Life Christian Center and get to the point to where something that we do disables them from receiving, we have failed. And we don't want to fail, amen. I'm sure we don't want to fail, amen. So we make sure that we're prepared to do that, to bring the people in and to show them where they should be and show them the positions that they have to be in so that they can function and receive. And as they come in, they'll be able to grow. As they come in, they'll stay in it. I don't know, I'm going to say this, then we're going to break up. I don't know what y'all are expecting, but I'll tell you what I'm expecting, okay? And hopefully, I don't know the last time you thought about this, but, you know, we just changed. The doors were opening at 8:30 on Sunday morning. We just changed the opening at 8 because I'm expecting people to be beating down the door to try to get in and get a seat. Y'all don't act like y'all don't believe with me, so that's cool. I'm going to keep believing myself. I'm going to keep hope alive, Montrell. And I'm going to keep believing that, even though I'm going to keep believing that people, you know, we get excited at camp meeting because they lined up on, Tuesday night? One night, Tuesday night, they'd be lined up, and we'd be like, yeah, taking pictures, because we ain't going to never see this again. No, forget that. Right? I expect them to be lined up tomorrow morning. At the door at 7:55. Come on, let me in. Come on. I'm trying to get a seat, because I know if I don't get in right now, I'm going to be sitting in the foyer with them extra chairs. Or they're going to put me in the overflow, right? Right? You know, overflow works on Sundays and Tuesdays too, right? Right? You know, overflow is not just for special meetings. So what are you expecting? This is what I'm trying to tell you. My expectation, look up in that balcony. Look up in that balcony real quick. Look up there. Look up there. Look up there. Some of y'all remember last time you looked in the balcony. Amen. Look in the balcony. Look all over. I'm expecting every seat to be filled with people from all nationalities, people from all different backgrounds, people of all ages to come here and get fed. Do you get fed on Sundays? I can't hear y'all. Do you get fed? Do you get fed well on Sundays? Okay. So watch this. My expectation is that others are coming to get fed the same way. If we all keep eating healthy, boy, we can change the world. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So I'm looking. I'm walking up in here and I'm looking. And so I say today right now. And some of y'all might be in here. You might not be in the ministry of health yet. And we're gonna line you up too. We're going to get you involved. But I'm looking. I'm driving up expecting people to be standing outside waiting to come in the door at 8 o'clock. All right? I'm looking and I'm expecting for every single seat to be filled in this building. Not, listen what I'm trying to tell y'all. Not just for a special, every meeting special. Say it, every meeting special. Say it a little louder, every meeting special. Every time we come into this building on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, it's a special moment. Every time we come, I know we go on Tuesday, last two Tuesdays, next Tuesday we come, it's going to be a special moment. If we ever go back to Wednesday, it's going to be a special moment. There's another special meeting, it's a special moment. So I'm not waiting for I'm not waiting for camp meeting to get it going. Just get it going. I'm not waiting for camp meeting to turn up. Right? We do it now. Everybody say, do it now. Come on, say, use your finger. Say, do it now. Oh, just say, do it now. We do it now, so I'm expecting. Come on, look, I'm going to point up there. Point up there. Come on, say, I expect all this to be filled. Hold on. Let me stop y'all for a quick second. I'm not talking about this. We're not making confessions. Because you done made confessions before, and they ain't really manifest. Nobody want to answer me, amen, about that. I'm not making confession. I'm making concession. Listen. I am prepared. Noah built the ark before the flood. There were things that God told people to do way before time to be prepared for what was coming. I got a question for you. Real quick. It's going to be real solemn. I asked Brother Mac this morning. I asked my ushers this morning. And I said, what are we going to do if the church be packed from the front to the end tomorrow? We need chairs out in the foyer. Are we going to be ready? What we going to do, altar workers, if 100 of them come in here and say, I want to get saved today? I'm expecting that. I know 100 people that need to be out there to come get Jesus. Right? And this might be the place for them to get it. Amen? I said, this might be the place for them to get it. Amen? So now what are we going? Are we prepared for the people are coming? So now we got to be thinking that way. We got to be corporate together on one accord, thinking that on the regular. I don't care if we get here tomorrow and, well, they ain't lined up today. Well, they going to be lined up the next meeting. And so for me, I'm preparing for overflow. I'm preparing for increase. I'm preparing for the flood of people before it gets here, so that when it gets here, sometimes God will delay things. Don't let a divine delay turn to a devil's disappointment, but sometimes God will delay things because maybe we're not ready for them at that moment, and it may drown us. So he's going to say, get ready right now. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, get ready right now. Look at your neighbor and tell him, get ready right now. We're going to prepare right now for growth. Are you understanding me? Because Jesus can talk to anybody. Tomorrow morning, everybody over in what is it, Central Trace down the street? What is this? What is this right here? This Central Trace right here, what is this? River Ridge? Come on. Pelican Cross and Pelican Point. They all may wake up tomorrow morning and say, we need to go to Word of Life. I don't know why we've been missing this for so long. Hey, if they wake up, I'm going to wake up the same way. I think they coming this morning. Are y'all understanding me? And so now another key is activation. Everybody say activation. We all got to be activated. We don't have to be Superman. You're going to be Superman. I got to handle this section. No, we helping each other. Every joint does what? Supply. So as we work together, there's going to be more people that's going to activate. There's going to be some people that come here, and the people that's not here right now, even coming to church, there will be people that's come that need to be trained, and you're going to help train them. Sometimes the way that you function is going to be the thing that's going to train them to be a part of what's going on. And you do know that when we come here, we're training for a bigger thing too, because there's a lot of people that may not come in this church, but they outside there where you go. And so how you train in here is how you're going to act out there. Are y'all seeing me? So what I need you, everybody say expand. Come on, do your hands, say, come on. Come on. Do your span. Come on. Do your. God used to talk to him and say, "Listen, I gave you this." He told Joshua, "I've given you Jericho. I gave you this." He told him, "Before you saw it, I gave it to you. I gave it to you. I want you to get vision." Right. He said, "Abraham got this land. I'm gonna show you. Like it's just, I'm giving you something else." He gave Noah dimensions, and Noah looked like he was crazy for building that thing. Beforehand, are y'all seeing? Come on, everybody, do it again. Expand. Come on. Look. Grab your head. I got to expand my thinking on what I'm expecting. I ain't coming here just to sit down. Listen, here's what I want tomorrow. And we don't need a pep rally for this. All right, we just need some focus, all right? And not tomorrow. I want this every day. I want this when we finish this right now in a couple minutes. I want there to be an expectation. I want there to be an excitement. I want there to be a freshness. I want there to be walking in like it's not. I don't want to come in like, well, we're doing our thing again today. We know how we do. We're going to catch the left knee this time. We're going to catch the right knee at that minute. Then we're going to, no. Forget all that. Right. I want you to come in expecting. I mean, even ushers make some noise. Greeters make some noise. Come on, altar workers make some noise. Nursery workers make some noise. Children's church make some noise. Who am I missing? Security make some noise. Hey, come on. I ain't missing. The media team make some noise. Come on, praise team make some noise. Come on, I ain't missing nobody. Did I miss anybody? Come on. Tell me if I'm missing anybody. I ain't missing nobody. Who? What? Prison ministry make some noise. Yeah. All us together. Understand. Look, even when I approach the person that I'm working with, I'm going to approach them like I don't know them. I'm going to approach them with some excitement. Well, that's Brother Cap. I'm going to go about my business because Man, I'm glad to see you. He's strong to you. I'm glad to see you. Y'all get what I'm saying? Keep the excitement. Don't lose forbearing who one another with love. So don't lose that excitement with each other. I don't care if it doesn't matter what it looks. Look, we got to keep the excitement. Keep that going because there's somebody's going to come tomorrow. Ain't never been here that need that energy. They need that excitement. They need you. You expecting them. I woke up praying in tongues expecting you to be here this morning. He ain't got to show your face to me in my night watch. It's okay. I'm going to watch in the night and make sure I expect you in the morning. Are y'all seeing what I'm saying? So we change, we keep the energy going, we keep that flow. This is what the Holy Ghost keeps you on the edge. Tell me when you can predict what the Holy Ghost is planning. You can't never predict it, can you? Well, I know what he gonna do today. Today here at 9:00, he gonna do this, and 9:30, this is exactly what the Holy Ghost is gonna do. And then y'all know with the way apostle flow, we don't never know what's going on, right? That's for a reason. You thought it was just because somebody was doing something. It's for a reason. When people are working out, they got this thing called muscle confusion. You ever heard of muscle confusion? They call it muscle confusion. Muscle confusion is you keep doing different exercises. You do quick ones, this, then you do something else, then you do something else because your muscles will get used to the same old thing and stop growing. They'll stop growing, they'll stop breaking, they'll stop doing the things they're supposed to do because they're used to the same old thing. Right? So now we got to keep it fresh. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. All right? Keep excitement. Everybody excited. Everybody make some noise. Come on, make some noise real quick. Clap your hands. Stand up. Clap your hands. Come on, stand up. Clap your hands. Come on. Stand up. Clap your hands. Make some noise. Come on. Shout out. Come on, we're ready. Everybody say we're ready. Come on. Everybody say we're ready. Come on. Everybody say we're excited. Come on. Everybody say we're moving. Come on. Everybody say, we're expecting. Come on, say it louder. Say, we're expecting. Come on, say new things. Come on, fresh things. Come on, say, we're expecting this morning. We're expecting great things. Make some noise. All right, so here we are. So we function. Go sit on down. We're going to put the map on the screen real quick, and we're going to break off.